join with me, Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20. Jesus is with his disciples. He's been doing some teaching with them, and we're entering into the conversation. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. This is a very interesting passage. I want to give a little bit of an introduction here. In Matthew, in the four Gospels, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is the only Gospel actually uses the word church. And you would think that Jesus would talk more about the church, but he doesn't. It's only used twice. It's used in Matthew 16, and it's used in Matthew 18. And at both times that the word church is used, you have this phrase: whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now, in Matthew 16, where the first appearance of this verse comes, Jesus has the disciples around, and he asks them a rhetorical question. He says, "Who do the people say that I am?" And he's really just asking kind of a gossip question, because you don't really have to think about it. You just have to remember what someone else said about him. He says, "Who do the people say that I am?" And some say, "Well, you're Elijah. No, you're John the Baptist." And Jesus says, "Okay, great." And then he goes on just a little bit deeper and says, "Who do you say that I am?" He's really pressing hard, and he wants them to think about it. And they got really quiet. And then Peter says, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "You know, Peter, this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." And he says, "Upon this revelation of faith, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So that's the first time that the word church is used in the Gospel of Matthew. The second and last time is here, just before the passage we read. Jesus is talking about a brother who has sinned against you. And he says, if your brother has sinned, go and try and talk to him and try to win him over. If he doesn't listen to you, take another brother with you. And if he doesn't listen to the two of you, take him to the church. And if he doesn't listen to the church, then treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Now, you have to kind of think about this for a second. How did Jesus treat pagans and tax collectors? He didn't say how we should treat them, but how did Jesus treat them? Jesus loved them. He wanted them to come to the knowledge of truth. He wanted them to grow in faith. But he did not let them into the inner circles. But he certainly wanted them to come to faith. And so Jesus says, love on them. And then he says, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." And so the title of the message this morning is Together. Because Jesus says, when you pray this way, when two or three of you agree, it's done. And so with new pastors, it's interesting, Pastor Adam and Pastor Eric have been here for a number of years. And so it's not like you don't know them, but they are taking new positions and they have a new sense of authority. And so I wanted to talk to them, and I also want to talk to the rest of us this morning about together and how we need to do this thing called church together. And here's my first recommendation. My first recommendation is that we learn to walk together. Walk together. There's a South African proverb that says, if you want to walk fast, walk alone. But if you want to walk far, walk together. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5, it says,
The prophet says, come, let us walk together in the light of the Lord. You know, when you walk together with someone, you have a relationship. You learn about them. You learn about their ups and downs, their ins and outs. You learn about their complaints. This morning, as I was walking with my wife, I can tell you the list of complaints on both hands. And she could tell you my complaints, because when you walk together, you have a relationship, you have a connection, you have a conversation. But not only do you have a relationship, but you also have the opportunity to receive a revelation together. In the Isaiah chapter 2 passage, let us walk together in the light of the Lord. God is going to speak to this church. God is going to speak to Pastor Adam and Pastor Eric. God is going to speak to you. And here's the thing, we have to be ready, we have to be listening, and it is a good thing when we are together listening to the Lord. Walk together, and this church will go far. And if you do not walk together, this church will go nowhere. Here's the second thing I would recommend. And Mark, where are you? This is for you. Eat together. Is that a good one? I've been waiting all my life to say that somewhere. Eat together. You know, you ever read the Gospel of Luke? It's my favorite gospel. I know I'm preaching out of Matthew, but the Gospel of Luke's my favorite gospel, because everything Jesus does is over a meal. You gotta love, like when Jesus is over at Simon the Pharisee's house and the woman comes in and anoints, they're having dinner, and this woman comes in and anoints his feet, and Jesus is prophesying, and I mean all over the place, Jesus is doing stuff, and food's involved. I love that stuff. Even at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, in the walk to Emmaus, there is a meal. There's two gentlemen, Cleopas and another disciple, and they're sitting down with Jesus, and Jesus is breaking the bread, and he's giving thanks. He's saying, oh God, we thank you for bringing forth bread from the earth. And as he's saying this prayer, the eyes of these two men are opened, and they say, it's Jesus. And that was over dinner. We need to learn to eat together. There is a Chinese greeting, and if I don't know, some of you know Chinese, but I'll explain to you. The Chinese greeting, the traditional greeting, is ni hao. And so when you meet someone, it literally means you good. That's how that's a little translation. You good? Are you good? And so ni hao, and you'd say hao, I'm good. Or most of the time, no one will be that honest and say bu hao, I'm very bad. But you know, they'll say ni hao, I'm good. But it actually comes from an older greeting, which is ni hao chi ma, which means have you eaten well. And again, most of the time people will say, yeah, I've eaten well. But if you say, have you eaten well today? And the person says no, you are under obligation to feed them. This church needs to eat together. Now, I'm not talking about meatloaf on Wednesday night. Although, I'm trying to clear my schedule for Wednesday, because I saw the menu and I'm good with that. I'm good with the meatloaf. I'm not talking about the meatloaf meal. I'm talking about God's Word, our daily bread, the manna from heaven. This church needs to eat together. And when someone comes into this church, we need to have the spiritual discernment to help them find a good meal. You know what? I oversee 176 churches. And there are different sizes and different shapes and different colors and different languages. But let me tell you what troubles me about some of those churches. When I go to visit those churches and I don't hear the Word of God being preached. And people sitting in pews or sitting in chairs, and in some cases just sitting on the floor, and they've come to church and they are hungry and they are thirsty and they want manna from heaven and they're not getting fed. This church must eat together. This church must take the bread of God and feast on it together. And everyone who comes to this church must have the opportunity to feast on the Word of God. Have you eaten well today? I hope the answer every Sunday is yes and amen. Because if you eat well, you will do well. Do you know what creates bad ministry? Bad theology. Oh, we know this. We all have people in our lives who quote us things from the Bible that aren't actually in the Bible. My grandmother was famous for this. And she had me scared to death for the first 18 years of my life. She said, "You know what it says in the Bible?" And I'm like, "What, Grandma? That cleanliness is next to godliness." You know who said that? It wasn't Jesus. It was Benjamin Franklin. To whom my grandmother probably dated, but that's another story. Listen, there are a lot of things that people think, and a lot of things that people have never studied about in the Bible. But listen, when people come to this church, this is the meal we serve. This is the bread that we eat. When we pray, "Give us, Lord, our daily bread," this is what we're talking about. And for this church to do well, we must eat together. Will that work, Mark? Is that good? Okay. And nothing against the meatloaf. Who's making the meatloaf, by the way? This. Okay, nothing against... Wait. Several hands went up. How many meatloafs are we making on Wednesday? Two. Hallelujah. Did you get that? That was a plug for Wednesday night. Okay, good. All right. Here's the last thing I want to encourage you. And I please hear me when I say this. I want you to learn to fight together. Not fight with each other. Listen, I got a list of churches you can go and we can get you involved in any kind of skirmish. But I want you to learn to fight together. Okay? You know, when Paul wrote the letter to the church in Ephesus, and in chapter 6 when he says, "Put on the armor," it's written in the plural. You, meaning all of you, put on the armor. You put on the armor, put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, put on the belt of truth and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and take the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and you, I mean all of you, get ready to do battle. We as a church need to learn to fight together. Because there is an enemy of our souls. Today in Egypt, we have just under 500 Free Methodist churches in Egypt. We have about 180 church buildings and about 290 house churches. And we have house churches out in the countryside where there might be, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in a small town, and there are not enough Christians to have a building, and so they meet in houses. And as of this morning, 3 of our churches in Cairo have been burned. But that's we're just only one part. They drug out and abused and sexually assaulted 3 Franciscan nuns in the street in Cairo. They're harassing the Baptists. They're harassing the Pentecostals. They're harassing everyone. You understand that the world does not like us. Because we remind them of another way. We remind them of holiness. And we remind them of righteousness. And we remind them of truth. And we must learn to fight together. You know, there's a proverb from Persia that goes like this. If you have one lion and one tiger, and you put them in the ring together, the tiger always wins. Why? Tigers are faster, they are stronger, they are vicious. Tiger will always win. But if you take 10 lions and 10 tigers, and you put them into the ring and they fight, the lions will win every time. Why? Because lions fight together. They were born into a tribe. They live in a tribe. They hunt as a tribe. And if someone is attacking them, they fight as a tribe. Prayer of faith needs to learn to fight together. There will be days. Sometimes it's weeks. Sometimes it's months. But there are times in our lives when everything is against us, and this church must learn to fight together. Back to back, guarding each other in this journey of faith. So, learn to walk together. Learn to eat together. Learn to fight together. I'd like to close with a story from this summer. I was up in western New York on the. I was doing a conference on the south side of Lake Ontario, and there were about between 750 and 900 people every night. And I was teaching in the daytime, and then we had worship services, and it was going really well, and God was blessing our time together. And then I got a wild idea, and you know, that can be good, and that can be, well, it can be not good. And so on Wednesday, I just felt the Lord impress me to do something I had only done one other time in my life. And so I went to the director of the conference, and I said, "Hey, is it possible that the children stay in the worship service tonight?" And he looked at me. He looked at me with these eyes like, "Why?" And I said, I just feel like the children should be in the sanctuary with us tonight, and I feel like God wants to use them." And he said, "But the parents will be very upset." And I said, I know there'll be some parents who'll be stressed, but I said, "Can the children stay?" And so he went and he told the children's ministers the children were staying in the worship service, and they said, "Hallelujah." And the parents were like, "What?" And you understand there. So that night, as people are coming to the worship service, parents were bringing picnic baskets full. I don't know what they're going to feed their kids the whole time, but I mean, they were preparing for the long haul, right? So here we are in the worship service, all these kids, and we're talking about, I don't know exact number, but when I invited the children to come down to the front, there were 67 children who came down to the front. Now, that wasn't all the kids, because, you know, there were some kids, like my son, who was like too cool to come down. I mean, he's like, "Yeah, you know, that's my dad, but I'm good right here." So he didn't come down. But there were 67 children who came down to the front. And I said, "Tonight, I want to speak to the children." And I said, "Children, I want to teach you how to be a blessing to your parents and how to be a blessing to your family." And I said, "I'm going to teach you how to bless other people." And I said, "Do you want to do this?" And they said, "Yes, we want to do this." I said, "Great." And so I gave them some basic instructions. I said, "Here's the thing. When you bless someone," I said, I want you to call their name out. Okay? You know, if it's mom, say mom. If it's dad or grandma, just say their name. And then I said, "I want you to look in their eye." And I said, I want you to call down a blessing from God. And I want you to pray for something good in the future to happen to them. I said, that's what a blessing is. And I said, you got it? And these kids, "Yeah, we got it." I said, "Well, let's do some practice." And so I took one little girl, and I said, "Okay, let's go this way." And I said, "Who do you want to bless?" And we're just walking through the church, and she says, "I want to bless her." And this gal's like, "Whoa, I don't even know this kid." And so I said, "Good." And went over there, and we made the introductions, and this little girl grabbed her hands and just prayed that God would bless this woman and then take care of her. And I walked her back, and I said, "Kids, you see how that was done?" And they said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, let's do a couple more. And so we did a couple more. And this one little boy, I said, who do you want to bless? And he leaned up and he said, can I bless my dad? I said, you can. So we went out and we got his dad. And right there in front of about 900 people, this was July 3rd. And we're having a big 4th of July, fireworks that night. So there was a big crowd that night. And so he blessed his dad. And you understand, I hope you're understanding that this was not just for the children. You see, I was trying to get a message through to the adults. So I said, okay, y'all ready? And they said, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, here's what's going to happen. These kids are going to go and they're going to bless as many people as they can. I said, we got some pastors over here and some pastors over here, and we'll be happy to bless people. And we got the praise team and they're going to be just singing. And we're just going to spend the rest of the evening just in the presence of God. And I said, kids, go. And they went. Now you understand, not all of them did, like for instance, I saw this in my own eyes. This one little girl goes back and says, hey, Dad, bless you. I mean, that was it. I mean, I understand. And hey, by the way, that's a valid blessing. Let's not prejudge. But it's okay. I mean, it was good. But one little girl, her name was Lauren. She went and blessed 23 members of her family. And one of them was a pastor. His name is Pastor Dick Dickerson from Spokane, Washington. And he came down with tears in his eyes. And he says, you don't understand. When she came back there and started blessing the family, he said, God started breaking curses and generational curses and things that our family had never dealt with. God was just, he was melting them away. And all over the room this was happening. And some people came down and it was a time when we were together in the presence of God. There wasn't anyone in the room who wasn't getting blessed, either by hearing a blessing or receiving a blessing or just watching. I mean, there were still people terrified that the kids were running around the sanctuary, but that's okay. They still got blessed. Except the next day I had one person came to me. And she said, I think what you did yesterday was wrong. I said, really? I said, why? And this is her word. She said, I do not think that an inferior person should be able to bless a superior person. And she was older. She was older than me. And she said, I don't think an inferior person should be able to bless a superior person. And I said to her, I said, if you have Jesus Christ, you have everything. And this church is not just a church for adults. This church. When I say that we're going to walk together, it's not just the adults who are going to walk together. It's the adults and the youth and the children. And when I say we're going to eat together, it's not just the grandmas and grandpas or the moms and dads. It's the teenagers and it's the children. They need the manna from heaven too. And when I say we need to fight together, we need to raise up our children. To raise up our children. To know the truth. So they can be in this fight too. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that when two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there. I pray that every time Pastor Adam and Pastor Eric gather together for prayer, for study, for coffee, just for friendship. I pray that you will be there with them. I pray that every time this church gathers together for worship, for teaching, for service, for projects, I pray, Lord, you will be there. Father, I pray that we get to the point at Prayer Faith Church that we would live out our name. That, Father, whatever we pray by faith, it will be done because we pray it together in your name. And Father, whatever we loose on earth, Father, loose it in heaven. And Father, whatever we bind on earth, together, bind it in heaven. And Father, I pray that this church will not only reach Oklahoma City, but Father, this church will reach the world for Jesus Christ. Now, while we're in attitude of prayer, and I don't mind, you guys can look up. I like to close my eyes too, but sometimes I like to look. So let's just look. You know, there's some of us here that we've been hurt in church. You know, I've been hurt in church. Are you kidding me? You know, we get hurt in lots of places. You know, someone said, I go to church because I got hurt. And I said, that's great. Did you ever get hurt at work? Yeah. Well, do you still go to work? Well, yeah. I mean, one gal said, I won't go to church because I just had a bad experience. And I said to her, have you ever kissed someone and had a bad experience? Well, she said, yeah. I said, you still kiss, don't you? I mean, you have to get over the bad experiences. Are you with me? Some of us have had some bad experiences, and the together thing scares us spitless. Because we just like, okay, the together thing is good for y'all, but not for me, because I just need to protect myself. But today I want to ask, is there anyone here who would say, you know what? I want God to come in and just do a work in me so I can trust others and I can be a part of the together. I can walk together, and I can eat together, and I can fight together. I want to be a part of a church that stands together. If you've been hurt and you want God just to come in and help heal those hurts in church, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are, and I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. Anyone? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Doesn't have to be this church. People get hurt in churches as they even drive by. They call it drive-by hurtings. You know, it happens. It happens. Thank you, sir. It happens. Thank you, ma'am. You can be hurt in Bible study. Christians are notorious for shooting their wounded, right? Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. I just want to pray for those who are standing. First of all, I want to thank you for your faith, and I want to thank you for your courage. Whether you go to this church or you go to another church, I pray that today God will touch your heart and you will be able to walk with others together in the light of the Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters standing. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them and keep them. I pray, Lord, that you make your face shine upon them. And Father, I pray that you just release, Lord, your spirit into their hearts and into their lives. That Father, whatever happened in the past, Lord, you will bring healing and wholeness. Father, thank you that you're a God who makes all things new. You're a God who gives us new hearts and new minds. You're a God who gives us new names and new missions. And Father, I pray that today we just have a sense, Lord, that you are leading us into new ways of doing things. And Father, I thank you that we don't have to go it alone. Father, we don't have to be a lone ranger Christian. But Father, we can walk together. And Father, we can eat together. Lord, we can fight together. I pray that today, Lord, there would just be an awesome breakthrough in each of our lives, not only for those who are standing, But Father, for those of us who are sitting, that we would be like Christ when it comes to the church. That Father, we would be humble of heart. And Father, we would have wisdom and grace. And Father, we would learn to love one another and serve one another, even as Christ loves the church and serves the church. And Father, we thank you that as you work in us today, may your name be glorified. We praise you and we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Now, technically, this is not my church, so the pastor, don't you think that the pastor should give the benediction? Yeah.
All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you and protect you until we meet again. Amen. Amen.